Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and call the scenes with footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, to serve the turbo! All rise for King to serve the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Away, 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 away
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Children, what's that sound?
In constant sorrow through his day. Trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave while he
and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I posted a little deal inside there in the Awake radio chat room and the Shaziz radio chat room. It says America is being destroyed from the inside to the out by Americans and the world to bring about Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order of the ages, E Pluribus Unum, Latin for out of many one. Whatever you want to call it, people believe that that all ends justify the means. Therefore, have you doing their work for them by pitting one against the other. Now, if you think about what's going on out there in this world, you really pay attention. There's controversies in every direction. Red versus blue, the Democrats, Republicans, power struggle for who's going to be in charge of the Senate and the Congress. You have racial discrepancies, whether real or not real, being portrayed out there in the world, black against white, white against black, so on and so forth, and all different races. It's not racial specific, but all this stuff going on, racial riots, and the way that the mainstream media portrays it, it's not all by coincidence that the pot continuously gets stirred. It's not just by accident that people make it out to be like everybody's so terrible. You know, during the Civil War, there was a lot of things going on during that time, and for the most part, we may not have got all the true history of what was going on. Just like all the way back through the history of America, from the founding all the way up to the present day, we may not have got all the information that we needed to make a critical decision. But I do know that during the Civil War, there were stories of people that would bring runaway slaves into their homes and hide them away to keep them safe. And in all points of every bad portion of what has happened in every single nation of the world, including Nazi Germany, there were people who was helping the Jews. There were people who were helping the Indians. There were people who were helping the blacks. Average people, the real people, not the minority of who was actually fighting the wars. You know, a lot of people don't really sit back and do the math, the numbers of what has occurred in the history of America and the world in general. Very few people even fought in the first Civil War. Very few people, in comparison of the entire population of the world, fought in any war or conflict. Wars are decided by victory by the minority. You know, when the body bags come back from Vietnam and people seen all these bodies coming back, I mean, you know, one, that's bad. You know, two, that's even worse. And when you start to get up into the hundreds and the thousands now, you know, this is something that we as Americans, we can't support no more. And so we protest the war effort. But all along behind the scenes, there's a machine that has been functioning since way back in the beginning of all the history of America and the world in general. There's a money machine behind the scenes that essentially steers and guides corporations and people into beliefs and patriotism that will get them to do the dirty work that they can't necessarily do themselves. If I'm a multimillionaire, why would I want to go out there and fight a war if I could get your child to do it for me? If I want to sell guns and drugs and ammunition and medical supplies during a time of peace, my business isn't going to be very well. During a time whenever people's health is doing good, everybody's eating healthy and making wise choices with their lives, well, I can't sell medicine very much. So these folks have learned, they've learned a long time ago how to manipulate society, and it comes from a basic pure evilness inside and greed that they would do the things that they do to empower their wallets and their selves. So there has been, and always has been, since the founding of the United States of America, a section of the society who believes that if we could steer this mess, we could not only make money, but we could bring this under one umbrella of power to where we would literally be gods. Nobody could come against us. And the genius behind their ends justifies the means scenario is they do nothing but stir the pot. They supply the guns and the ammunition that you build in the factories for them. They sell them. They pay you a wage. I wonder how many people are actually sitting there in a bullet factory and contemplating on, is this bullet that I'm manufacturing right now ever going to go through somebody's body? Is this bullet that I'm putting out here going to take somebody's life? I would venture to say that they probably don't even contemplate on it. It just goes on down the road. It's just manufacturing. In World War I and World War II, they found that the majority of the soldiers never even fired their firearms. Never once pulled the trigger. Came back with just as much ammunition as they left with. And so it had to come to pass that they figure out a way that they could actually get soldiers to fire without even thinking about it. The modern day police departments, they train with black silhouettes. In the old days, back in the World War I and World War II, they started off with bullseyes. It's just a target. To the average shooter, it's just a target. But a black silhouette in the shape of a human body would give the impression of, you know, in the subconscious, of just in a target, but somewhere else, a desensitization, I can't even pronounce it, of a person to shoot another person. So they found that the more people would fire after being trained on shooting at black silhouettes. So the folks in charge, they figured this out. They figured it out a long time ago, how to get the mind to do what you want it to do by scaring people. You can sell things. By sitting there poking behind the scenes and stirring the pot, you can get the blacks against the whites. You can bring up the atrocities of history and things that's happened in all nations, in all races, religions, and colors, creeds. Terrible things have been done to people by people throughout the history of mankind. The first murder in the Holy Bible was done with a rock. And today you have people struggling to fight for gun confiscation or gun rights on one side or the other. There's somebody on both sides of the fence. The folks that think that they could get rid of the guns, and they would stop the crime, they would stop the gun violence. And the folks that think that on the opposite side, that it's not going to matter if you get rid of the guns because people will still kill each other with knives and rocks and so on and so forth, or their bare hands if necessary. But these people at the top, the financiers of the world, the one wanting to bring about the Novus Ordo Seclorum, new order of the ages, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. Their wisdom has brought about war and death and destruction and money, wealth beyond their wildest imaginations. And it's all been on the backs of the people. We do allow the governments of the world to do to us what they have been doing. We allow our children to go to foreign nations and fight with other people's children. And there has to come a time, sometime in the history of our time, that people can reach a true enlightenment to where they understand that war, peace, never came from the end of a barrel of a gun. The old saying that if you live by the sword, you shall surely die by the sword. We brought the Knights of the Round Table together to try to bring brilliant minds from all over the world, from all nations, all backgrounds, all races, religions, and colors, in hopes that we, the ones with common sense, would resonate our voices across the international boundaries to all nations, all people, to speak common sense. And the Bible talks about the meek shall inherit the earth. If it takes a tragedy of epic proportions, whether it be natural or man-made disaster, to bring we the people together, then by that time it may very well be too late. It saddens my heart to think about anybody in this world doing without or suffering. And so I think that in my own little way, I'd put my little contribution to the world. I speak the words of wisdom coming from my heart, and I believe from divine intervention. As in, I put my hand on my book and I ask my God, my Lord and Savior, to give me the words to speak to the world in hopes that those words will resonate. Even if you're a non-believer, we can all agree. The atheist and the Christian alike can all agree that this world is heading down a path that is not a good path. The moral decline of societies, the dumbing down of our children. I wanted to find a good reading of the Declaration of Independence. I was in the process of Googling that, and I just didn't get there in time. But the words that they said in the Declaration of Independence, they hold true today. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve political bands with which have connected them with another, to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to separate. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its power in such a form to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient cause, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object events a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferances of the colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain, George III, is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object to the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to the candid world. He has refused his assent to laws that most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspending in their operating till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he is utterly neglect to attend them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodations of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the rights of representation and legislature, a right inestimable to them and a formidable tyrant only. He has called together legislative bodies and placed unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative house repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness. Sorry. As invasions of the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolution to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercises, that the state remaining in meantime exposed to all dangers of invasions from without, convulsion within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for the purposes of obstructing laws and naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migration hither and raising to conditions of new appropriations of land. And it goes on and on about all the different things that he did right there. Finally, it gets all the way down to to the end. Let me find the spot. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice, and oh man, I'm having a terrible time of reading this. I need to have somebody else read this doggone thing. But either way, it basically all boiled down to where the people just had an uprising, and there we were. We were declaring our independence. The Constitution of the United States starts off, "We the people." I suggest you go out and read it. I suggest you read the Declaration of Independence, better than I read it. The governments of this world haven't had a good track record. They haven't solved anything. They put all the different things on the table and give you the illusion of choice. You know, you can vote Democrat, you can vote Republican. It's a blue versus red. when in reality it's just people against people. Ideology against ideology. The key to what it is that I'm trying to point out to is these folks that are behind the scenes manipulating, the ones that have the money to send people to war, the ones that get you to pay your taxes to keep their money flowing. They have figured out long ago, way back to the founding of this nation and that nation, how to manipulate people. How to keep your continuous hatred for one another against each other. To keep all the angers and all the frustrations of the past. We go out to attack the governments via our words, using our freedom of speech, our First Amendment. We go out to talk about how bad the government is. We need to be paid back for all the past atrocities of the world. The man standing in the White House to this very day doesn't believe that America should exist as America any longer. There's thousands of people in different nations that believe just the same, that America doesn't need to be America anymore. There are Americans that believe that we deserve every single thing we get. But I want to bring you back for a second. Before we go into total judgment on America, before we flush America down the toilet, and before you paint with a wide brush your brothers and sisters in your own nation, in every single story, in every single history, there have been people who went against the system, just like you are going against the system. They didn't agree with slavery, so they didn't go along with slavery. They made underground tunnels. They made secret rooms that they could hide people in. The good people of the world, they stood up at the right times in history to make a difference. They stood up in the right times of history to voice themselves to the world. And although all these things, all these sacrifices, my grandfather, your grandfather, their grandfathers, all the sacrifices that they all made throughout the history of all of our nations and all of our tribes, are being undermined. If we follow the path that we're on, they fought for freedom. They fought for their families. They fought for their beliefs that they were trying to bring about a better world. However misguided they may or may not have been, under the guise of patriotism or whatever, their sacrifices will go in vain if we allow ourselves to bring this world to a third world war. If we allow the money men of the world, the representation that we have supposedly in all of our nations, to bring us to the point of World War III, all your veterans of all your wars and all your conflicts of the world died for nothing. World War I and World War II. World War II was supposed to be the war to end all wars, to bring about peace, hope, and democracy throughout the entire world. And the people of the world, from all the tragedies that we can see in history, have been completely pitted against one another. There's folks out there who will deny that the Holocaust ever happened. No Jews were ever killed. It wasn't like that. On both sides of the story, the controversy continues. It did or didn't happen. In all races, in all nations, in all religions, everyone has been pitted against each other. Conspiracy on this side and conspiracy on that side. And mankind, the people of the world who have common sense, struggle to make sense of it all. They struggle to try to bring about the truth to all the people of the world. We know where the destruction comes from. We watch them all the time. These men at the top, they give the orders to fire or not to fire. They give the orders to kill or not to kill. They choose who lives and who dies. So I'm going back to my phrase there that I put up in the chat room. America's being destroyed from the inside to the out by Americans and the world to bring about Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order of the ages, E Pluribus Unum, Latin for out of many, one. Whatever you want to call it, people believe that all ends justify the means, therefore have you doing the work for them, putting one against the other. There are Americans who believe America is terrible. And so they will tell everybody, America's terrible. America's guilty of slavery. America's guilty of torture. America's guilty of murder. America's guilty of genocide. America is the great city of Babylon. The modern day Babylon. While America does have America's flaws in history and faults, when you paint America with that brush, you paint all Americans, including yourself. When you paint with that brush, it's not just the bad guys that you paint. We, the people of these United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do and ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. It was put together by the people for the people. And people can go back and they can say that Thomas Jefferson and all the founding fathers of America were terrorists. They terrorized everybody. We didn't go to the moon. We did go to the moon. It's all conspiracy, back and forth, back and forth. One has to only open their eyes to see, to step back and understand that we are being destroyed from the inside out. No nation wants to come into America and face America head on. Because Americans will rally together, the white man, the black man, the Indian, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Korean, the Vietnamese. All Americans will rally together and unleash a power on the opposing force unlike anything they have ever seen in the history of time. The Chinese once said that the reason why they don't invade America is because behind every blade of grass is a gun.
Isn't that nice?
The lesson to learn from this is not that America is the toughest people on the planet, but that America being the melting pot which represents the entire planet. There are French, there are Irish, there are Canadians, there are Chinese, there are Africans, there are every single person every single race, every single religion, every single background is here in America. The Native Americans, the people that were here before the Europeans got here, are Americans. And they have all sacrificed. From every race, every religion, every color, every background, have all sacrificed. This experiment that we call the United States of America, this land of the free, the home of the brave, was built on the backs of every single individual on this planet. The last beacon for true hope in this world is that this experiment succeeds and we learn. And when governments take what would be America, what would be this wonderful melting pot of all nations, and abuse these people in the manner that they are, and abuse the world, and abuse their power, their authority that was given to them by the people, for the people, then that is when the second Declaration of Independence, the words are written, the words are spoken. I pray that it never comes down to a second civil war here in the United States. I pray that somehow, some way, all of humanity can find true enlightenment to understand the power that is within their own souls, their own hearts. And can understand that the wars that we have waged upon one another in our own neighborhoods, in our own families, have taken mankind back and not moved us forward. These folks that believe Novus Ordo Seclorum, these folks that believe E Pluribus Unum, they also believe that the ends justify the means. And by any means, they will get you to do their work for them, to bring about a one world government. Now my book speaks of a one world government. But regardless of what you believe, the power structures that be, the governments of the world that no longer represent we the people, they have us fighting against one another. The past, while as terrible as it was, should never be forgotten. The past, as terrible as it was, should never be repeated. But I want to submit to the world today that the majority of all men and women in this world are good people. The majority of the black folks are good people. The majority of the white folks are good people. The majority of the Indians, the majority of the Chinese, the Japanese, the Russians, the Canadians, the Irish, the Scottish, the majority of all nations are good people. I know I've talked to so many people from so many different nations, and I can hear them. I can feel their compassion. I can feel their heart. And I know that they have a love for one another, and they have a love for humanity, and they have a love for nature, and they want the same thing that we all want. My hopes was that this platform called the Knights of the Round Table could be at least one of the stepping stones to move us towards that future. We've done about 140 episodes. We've had our ups and our downs. We've came a long ways. We've fought against the system that has been the beast that is eating humanity alive. We have fought hard. We have fought with honor and respect, trying to bring common sense and knowledge to the world, trying to tell people, trying to shout it out from every mountaintop, trying to let people know that it is not we the people. It's the beast that is behind the scenes that tells you you got to riot against the white man. You got to riot against the black man for the atrocities of those in the past. We must be punished, all of us, each and every one from every nation, on a daily basis for the rest of our lives. When do we as humanity stop punishing one another and ourselves, and when do we as humanity move into the future to lay the paving stones down for the children and their children and the future generations? When do we lay down our guns? When do we lay down the arms of the world, the destruction, the death, the turmoil, the sickness? When do we get back to where we should have been all along? The caretakers of our planet, this beautiful earth, the caretakers of one another, sharing the abundance of resources that we have had access to all through history of time. Not stealing the land, not owning the land, but sharing the land. Native Americans, the first Americans out there, they didn't own the property. They used it. They took care of it. There's a great lesson to learn from those people. And there's other cultures out there. All different cultures have something good, something worthy of learning from. All nations have made mistakes. All races have made mistakes. All religions have made mistakes. All people. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of our Creator. We bring about an offer to the world, a platform here on ShazizRadio.com and Awake Radio and 1800 online and People to People. All these networks combined, there's so many of them. We put out there on the table, we offer common sense and a platform and peace, hope, love, and respect for one another. I don't believe that you listening and all the people from behind all the scenes of all these networks have come together for nothing. I don't believe in coincidence such as that we all just showed up. I'm scrolling up into the chat room to read one more thing. I typed in, "It is my belief that we have all come together to bring common sense back to a world of chaos in hope to steer our world from what will come to pass in the direction in which we are heading, leading to the destruction of all mankind. And that this time is the last test of humanity. Will we learn and teach from the past or destroy it all?" I hope you understand what I'm asking there. Will we continue to hate one another because of our skin colors, our differences? Will we continue to hate one another in this day and age for things that have been atrocities in the past? I can't carry the burden of my forefathers and carry the torch for the future of humanity at the same time. Because the burden of the atrocities of my forefathers is weighing me down. It's holding me back. But if I can drop that burden of my forefathers, and I can keep that torch held high, I can let the true light of what is me shine. And step into the future as a shining example of what is me to benefit you and your children and your children's children. I'm asking you to lay the burdens of your forefathers down and raise the torch, that light that is you, and step into the future with me to let your light shine. We can't change the past, people. But we can change tomorrow. And if you raise that light from your heart, and you put it high in the air, and we all step into the future with one another, and we lay new pavement stones, the atrocities of the past won't happen again. That's my hope. That's the dream. Take it away, buddy.
I hear you, bud. Yeah, shine your light. Whoever you are, whatever you are, what you believe. Shine that light. Basically, you want people to follow and to see what you know and to do what you want to do or do what you're doing. You got to be doing it. Got to be you. They see what you're doing. They believe what you're doing. They will help you. And they'll be doing the same thing and others will follow. I see a lot of people talking about what's wrong with the world. I say what's right with the world or what is not right with the world. Try to work towards making it right. You can't beat the world and what's happening in the world by talking about the world. You can talk about what's not right with the world. You can bring them up to speed on it. You can bring them up to speed only so many times. Doing something will get the action. If you want to go to work, what you do, you go look for something to do. Want to build a cabinet shop? Make cabinets. Then people will see what you're doing. Somebody will like what you're doing. If you're working, you will have attention. That's the thing.
Would you agree that you got to drop the anchors of the past in order so that we can move freely into the future?
Yep. What did your daddy believe in? What did your mama believe in? Guess what? It's in your genes. It's in what codes you. Your genes have memory. Your body has memory. Some people think they are reincarnated and got a whole past life. Well, some of these things are passed down through genes, but I don't think you're reincarnated. If you got something that says it's you're an incarnation of something that's not even in your doggone bloodline, I tell you what, that's a spirit. There's many different kinds of life out here. Well, it's sad that you're It's not the things that you see out here that you're battling. It's what you can't see.
Yeah, our good book says we fight against...
We are not the only beings.
We don't fight against man. Kings of principalities or something like that. Do you remember the phrase?
No. Yeah, I do, but I can't quote it either. It's been too long. I ain't perfect as far as all that goes.
Well, essentially...
But what I'm trying to get is... Look... You are a product of your mother and father and what they believed. And you come out here and you look at things... You look at it good and strong. Instead of diving into one little spot and going for the nitty-gritty and going for all this... Look at it as a whole... What do you feel? What do you believe? What is in your heart? You'll look at things, and you're gonna put two and two together naturally, because that's what we do. I don't think any of this is a secret. Never was. The veil is being lifted. Nobody said it would be lifted with a bang. I think we're learning and we're seeing. We use our common sense. Use your common sense. One person says, we are God. No, we are not God. We are made by God. God is in every one of us. I don't think... I know his power stretches all the way across the universe because he's the creator, but he is also the creator of us. He made us in his image. A great being of energy. So aren't we. Because he made us in his image. It wasn't about eyes, nose, and fingers, and toes. It wasn't about that.
Do you know what one thing that...
It's like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? Mind, body, spirit.
Do you know the one thing...
What we speak changes things. Say again now, Shaziz.
Do you know the one thing that all of humanity... from all different backgrounds, all different religious views or whatever, have in common?
A supreme being.
We all ask the same questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? We all are seeking our beginnings, and we all are looking for love. All of us.
Nobody will actually say that.
Nobody wants to be hated. No, nobody wants to be alone. We are social beings. And somewhere along the line in our histories of all nations, people figured ways that my cake isn't as big as yours, you know?
Yeah.
And you got more than I got. And the folks like yourself and myself and Barry out there and Stephen Gibbons and all the different individuals that are out here socializing the chat room, they see the world in a different way.
You know what I see the world as? We are beings of praise. We were made to be beings of praise. That's why we make music. That's why we can sing. That is the praise. And when somebody's singing, the scans of the brain show energy in the same spots and all over.
Yeah, but it's not just that.
As somebody who's in praise.
It's not. It's not just that. That's
the same. What, these guys that do that long distance healing. It's the same spots of the brain.
That's why
you are transmitting.
That's one of the pieces of what makes up the human spirit, but it's the giving, the portion.
We weren't made for fear, is what I'm getting at. We weren't made for fear.
I agree.
Praise. We were made to be happy.
And when you see a lot of people in this world that aren't happy, you have to question what's going on. Why is this world unhappy? The earth is unhappy. The people are unhappy. The land, the animals, everything.
Let me ask you this. When you watch a lot of this fear porn, are you happy?
No, I'm saddened.
that we weren't made to live in fear.
I'm saddened by it. I'm discouraged by it. I put a message out in the chat room on Skype. I put it out in the chat room on both the Awake and different rooms on Skype.
Let me ask you this.
Let me finish.
What happens if you go into a crowded room?
Let me finish, Muddy.
Nobody's happy. Go ahead.
I put a message out that this may very well be the very last live Knights of the Round Table.
I know, bro.
Because I've reached a point in my life where I'm just so discouraged. When you talked about fear porn, and you asked me the question of how did I feel, I feel terrible when I'm seeing stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm not fearful for my own soul or my own body or my own person. I've lived a fruitful life. I've seen a lot. I mean, I've had a rough life, ups and downs, but there were goods in there as well. It's been an experience.
The men in black ain't attacking you like some shows and everything like that, making you go up. But here's the thing, Shaziz. If you're looking at the negative too much, it will affect your health. It'll drag you down. That's why I left a while back. Because I got off on the wrong foot, and I was ranting every week, and no, I had to get away from it. I've got to look at, let me get back to where I was saying here a second ago. If you go into a room of a bunch of people, and none of them are happy, it's going to drag you down. Or, you might wind up unhappy as they are. Who knows what'll happen? But the thing is, we weren't made for that. And that's what I'm seeing the world going into, a world of fear. And we can get rid of the fear, we can get people to get rid of the fear, it'll be much better.
That's why I was trying to tell you. I put this platform initially together for us to come together to bring about common sense and peace, hope, and love to people. I got to the point of discouragement because on a daily basis, I continuously seen more and more negativity pushed out there into the world. I seen fighting amongst each other. I seen egos get the better of people. And I watched the news. I watched the alternative media. And I absorbed all this stuff like a sponge. Like what you said, when you go into a room and people's happy, you're happy. When you go into a room and people's mad, you're mad. But I absorbed every bit of all this stuff in my mind, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to clean up a mess while at the same time behind me other folks are throwing more trash on the pile.
Right.
Now one has to ask, who wants me to know that Planet X is coming to blast our planet? Who wants me to know that there's a world conspiracy to dominate and kill Christians and everything under the sun? Who wants me to know about all the different one world government deals, all the different atrocities of the world, you know, all the different genocides of the world? Who wants me to know all that information? Who keeps pushing all this information out there? Because when you put that kind of information in front of somebody, Muddy, I cried like a baby one day whenever I clicked on a link. It said that discretion advised, not to watch this if you're weak hearted or something like that. And I, out of some need to see whether or not this is truth and whether or not this was something that really seriously is going on in the world and it needed to be addressed, I looked down that rabbit hole and I saw the most terrible thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I know 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that that video was real and that what was occurring in that video from the humans that to other humans was real. It was pure evil.
Like death of a thousand cuts, burying somebody up to the waist.
I watched.
And stoning them just because they believe what somebody said. Yeah, people can do some pretty cruel things to each other. But the thing is, it's not driven by
Buddy.
It's not really driven by love, man. Not at all.
I got to get this point up to you.
Okay.
I saw as humans literally beheaded other humans. I'm not talking about ISIS or Al Qaeda or anything like this. This is in a different portion of the world, over more near Mexico. But the inhumane manner in which they did this, the atrocity, the evil, the way that they dehumanized these women that they did this to. They had no shirts on them. They were being smacked around and shoved around, and then they were literally decapitated before my very eyes. I went to church in a state of mind that I was just devastated. And I sat down and I told my pastor, I said, I looked into the eyes of pure evil today, and I just don't know what to do.
And you feel it drain you, don't you?
It did. It took a chunk out of my soul that I don't know if I can ever get back. Because the thought that any human would do that to another human is so terrible. And we know that these things have occurred throughout history.
Maybe that's why we weren't supposed to learn the knowledge of good and evil.
Well, it's painful. Sometimes it's better not to know things.
Knowledge itself is a corruption, dude.
But my point, and even bringing that up, was that I see all the good people out there in this world. I see this world as to what it could be, not as what it is right now. I know that we have potential. I know that we have great potential. But day after day, you get little trolls that come in there and they'll pick at you a little bit at a time. They'll tell you how stupid you are. They'll tell you you don't know what you're talking about. They'll keep on this and just keep on attacking you. And in the same sense, you sit there and you watch other conversations where your own personal religious views are being completely picked apart. Your own personal knowledge of what history was, that you thought history was, is being picked apart. Whether we did go to the moon or we didn't go to the moon, all of this stuff in conjunction with one another has depleted my energy level so far, so bad, that brought me into a state of depression unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life.
Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. I know you're thinking about making this your last show or so. I say 3 hours of it on Sunday. I don't think it's the best thing.
Well, I'll give it 3 hours.
A little bit if it's a burden, and if it still doesn't work out, then take a break from it.
I give it 3 hours because there are those who come in the middle of the show, because not everybody has the same sleep times or work times, and so I want everybody to be able to enjoy something of it.
Let me put this by you. All right. Let's look at the show as like an affair between two people. You, your audience, the show, and the audience. Let's put it that way. We'll look at the husband and the wife. Well, the husband goes out, he drinks all night, and women flirt with him, and the wife stays home, jealous. And when he gets home, she rags on him. Whoa, what's wrong here? Maybe he's going to the bar because he's tired of getting ragged on and nagged on, whether, you know, he's true or not. After a while, home ain't the place to go for a rest. Maybe he'll go somewhere else. Let's look at the show. If the show doesn't bring a smile to somebody's face, if it doesn't interest them, if it basically feels like it's ranting at them, or it's not a good feeling. Will you go back to the show? Would you go back, or what would you do? You go look for something else. The show sometimes gets nothing but ranting, and it's going back amongst quite a few people. Sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes it's the same old thing. Sometimes it's just, you've heard it before. The negative that you've heard before is basically a pusher away. Sometimes as you get into the show, you're tired, but yeah, then you get the adrenaline rush and you go. And so doesn't everybody else. It always gets busy towards the end of the show because they know the time's getting short. But when something, I don't know, a positive show is a great thing. But when they start getting long, it's not as interesting. I think maybe if you shortened it down a little bit. And I don't know, dude. All I know is you make something appealing, they'll come back.
Well,
I had to get away from Muddy Radio because it's basically it's anti-war. I have interviews. I speak out here and there against what I see, and sometimes I give a message of love. I'm taking my break because I need the time from Muddy Radio, taking pretty much a summer vacation from it, but I'm missing it. It's good for me to get away with it. I'm going to compile some more stuff and come on back and do it. But to me, it's starting to get redundant. If I want to spend a night down there, Friday night at the shop, usually the weekends are good. This one had to make a liar out of me. But I could spend the whole night with no one to bother. I get a lot of work done. If I want to sit back and take a nap, I can. And then I get up and cook some breakfast in the morning. And I get more things done. The shop is more appealing to me.
Yeah, I understand.
And then I get stuff done through the cool of the day, and bingo.
I understand all that, Muddy.
But here's the deal. The shop becomes more appealing, and I get to the shop more. It's the same thing with the show.
This is not meant.
If I got to leave there at like 3:30, it means I got to pack up, close up, do all that, come home, and then do the show. And when I'm done my show, I do yours, and then my day's gone, and I feel like,
This is not meant to be a one-man show. This is not meant to be a one-man rant. This is not meant to be nothing less than all people coming together and sitting down at the table and figuring out ways by which we can help one another to fix this world before it's jacked up beyond all recognition.
I know. We don't have time to take a vacation because we still got people to enlighten and let them know.
My discouragement hasn't come from the lack of the folks out here on the network that have actually been working behind the scenes trying to do what they can, because they're in the same circumstances that I got. They only got so much energy and so much resource and so much, whatever. My discouragement has become because here we are shouting to all four points of the compass and the floodgates coming in, and not enough people are putting sandbags up there to steer the flood away from the population.
Right.
That's where it all ends, man, because, somebody told me one time it's not my job to save the world because I felt like the weight of the world was on my back. And so I try not to try to save the world, but I love these people out here, And if somebody's telling me through the fear porn or the propaganda or whatever, I don't know the true history of what happened with all the individuals from all the different nations to what their governments did or didn't do, or one race or one religion behind them, secret societies or aliens or whatever. I don't have all that information to access. All I have is what I have been able to pick and weed and wade throughout this internet, this world, the news media, the radios. I started off in 1998 to try to find out what the truth was. And I listened to guys like Alex Jones and everybody else under the sun. And I'm telling you what, brother, I went so deep down the rabbit hole, deeper than the average Joe could ever possibly imagine going. And I was proactive. I was out there in the system. I seen the system firsthand in multiple different portions of the systems, in multiple different levels of the government, to see how it functioned, to find out whether or not true or fiction.
You understand some of it because you were a police officer before.
Yeah, and I'd done other things as well, but brother, listen, if you take and you step back, you were a cab driver. You owned your own company. You done it. You knew that system inside and out. You saw things that nobody else seen. You know there's aspects to driving a cab that your average Joe who even rides in a cab doesn't even know or even just takes for granted.
And you know what? I made a big difference. A year later, it's like I wasn't even there.
But all I'm saying, and the reason...
17 and a half years, I made a difference. After 1 year away from it, it was back to exactly the way it was.
All I'm saying, and the reason why I have been contemplating on this being the last show, was because I don't know whether or not people out there feel like I'm either just ranting or I'm actually putting something positive into this to this world. If I'm ranting, then it's not worth my while. If people are not coming because they don't want to hear somebody tell them that something that they already know, then what they should have done to begin with was come stand at the table and tell me what it is that they know that I don't know, and the solution that they have that they can share with somebody else, and who they know and who we all can bring together to enact the solutions to solve these problems. Doggone it, Muddy. It's been over 30 some odd years since I saw my very first starving baby commercial. And they're still starving babies. It's been over 30 some odd years since I saw my first Save the Planet and Save the Animals commercial.
There's no need for the babies to be starving. We send food and it stops at the border and is used as political control over the people.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. If
everywhere you look, like I've been down that rabbit. I've been over it and over it and over it. I've seen like a lot of them videos like you're talking about, people killing people in the cruelest way they can possibly do. I've seen it. I look down this rabbit hole and I think of all the little angles that a person could actually survive on their own, and somehow they find a way to creep in and tax and put a law against. And yeah, it's just... Everything you do to survive that gives you that you have a common law right to forage, common law right to travel, common law, you know, the right as the family is the highest deal. Now, all of that's torn down, kind of like in 1972, there were 777,642 laws in the United States to get around the Ten Commandments. There. Shoot, that number's grown astronomically.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary. Well, it is necessary, people. It is necessary for us to abolish the corruption in our governments of this world. And I am not talking about pitchforks to the White House kind of scenario. I'm talking about you stop fighting with the other guy in the chat room. And you, on your social media network, stop posting crap that you know some child's going to see somewhere along the line. Stop throwing fire on the gasoline on the fire. Stop hating the black man because somebody in the past hated the black man. Stop buying into the lies and propaganda. Who's the real Jew? Who's the not real Jew? What? Jews are evil or not evil? Blacks are evil or not evil? Whites are evil or not evil? I got news for every single man, woman, and child on this planet. You are given free will, which gives you the potential to be either good or evil. And what you choose to do with what you have, your free will that is you, the light that you decide to shine or the darkness that you decide to cover the light with will determine your children's future.
That's right. That's right.
What more can I say, buddy?
What was the one commandment that superseded all of them? Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
We can get back to that. Ain't nothing going to break us up. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. There's no laws that are actually written and passed by Congress. Those aren't laws. The laws are in the heart of the people. The laws are in the heart of the people. They're not ready.
The laws of nature is what we should have been with all along. You know?
Are we attacked by knowledge? Well, let's put it this way. To get to accuse somebody, you got to get real nitty-gritty and all the way down to the fine, minute details to figure it out. That's why they have these long court sessions, and then they have somebody to sit there and judge it. And the law's in the people's hands, in the heart of the people. That's what the jury does. They try to take that away from us, then it's nothing but their mandatory past BS. That's not laws.
There's a comment in
they've got to beat them by their minute details of their wording.
There's a comment in the chat room directed to you. It says, we in school, buddy. And we are in school. Life is a learning experience. Maybe the Creator put all the different color people down here to see how long we could get along.
I need to update my chat room. I'm looking for it and don't see it.
It was Lens in the chat room in the super chat on the Shaziz side.
Yeah, we in school, buddy. It is all we do to money, right?
It is all due to money. It's all due to greed. You know, the rich man stacking up his gold and silver and diamonds and jewels, you know, we came into this world naked, and guess what, folks? You're going to go back out the same way you came in. You can't take none of it with you. And the legacy that you leave behind, whether you're rich or poor, you know, that's yours. You own it. You own that legacy. You own the choices that you made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow, Lens. Nice comment. Thank you. Talking about those two little girls and one little boy, ages between 12 and 14, at the aquifer. And they come across the dog mouth bound, all feet bound, dead in the water. This is what last week, could you imagine? What? Yeah. Do you imagine what I am? Yeah, I've seen some pretty cruel stuff. To kids, even. Oh my goodness. Look at what happens. Children go missing. Next thing you know, you find out for years they've been basically taken and used and basically put up in graves. And all that crap's in the news. And you know what? Here we got a woman that wants to be president. This is the amazing thing. I don't think anybody would elect. I don't know, man. You look at the president here. He's putting more presidential mandates, written these emergency laws, more than any other president or all presidents combined, all designed to take down our economy, take down the people, take down our Constitution. Piece by piece by piece.
Well, go back
and
up to
the Constitution states that every bit of that is illegal.
Go back
up
to what I said.
He wasn't even born in America.
Go back up to what I said. Scroll up and check.
How are we gonna get some child porn broad who hides behind being a lawyer and her fame as the president's first lady? Who was the president, he thought cigars were a neat thing to do tricks with, and along the same lines of what they're kind of accused of. And she's going to run for president? I want to ask you, in your honest opinion, if we can elect goofy old presidents that are trying to tear down the doggone United States, do you think for some unforeseen measure that she'll get voted in?
Well, the key is this, man. America...
I think she will.
America is being destroyed from the inside to the out by Americans and the world to bring about Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order of the ages.
I don't think our president was voted into office the last time.
It's a show, buddy.
It's a... Oh, yeah.
It's all a show. Two Dog put a message down there for you. He said, you will be known by the tracks you leave behind you, Lakota proverb. And that's
right.
So true.
In the Bible, that's the same one as you will know them by their works.
Yep.
Yeah, God's written on the heart of man. No matter where you are in the world, the law is written in the heart of the people as well.
Well, I'm saying,
I don't think we're as stupid as they think we are.
I'm saying this, man.
We got common sense. We put two and two together, and we learn.
It talks about in there how the tribes were all scattered around the world, and their tongues were changed to where one tribe wouldn't even understand what the other tribe unless they somehow learned their language or whatever. But if you look at all the different backgrounds from all the different countries and races and religions and so on and so forth, it all basically comes back down to the same kind of common sense and decency. It's not much different. It's just an argument over how we got there, who's who, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so, if you are wise enough to know how to pit those individuals against each other, you can do exactly what they're doing to this country. America is being destroyed from the inside out by Americans and the world to bring about Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order of the ages, a pluribus unum, Latin for out of many, one. Whatever you want to call it. People believe that all ends justify the means. That's the key. All ends justify the means. Therefore, have you doing their work for them by pitting each other against each other. This deal about what's going on with Hillary Clinton and the presidents of the United States out there, it's a soap opera. It's a drama. We haven't been given a choice. We're under the illusion so that we're fighting amongst each other. I don't know Hillary, but she looked pretty doggone evil when she was laughing about somebody being killed.
Well, let's look at the, here's the president. What is the president supposed to stand for?
He's supposed to be
a role model. And what do we see? What is the Pope? What's the Pope's role model supposed to be? What do we see in the news? What do we find out?
You know what I see in the Pope?
Exactly the opposite.
You know what I see in the Pope? I see a man on a golden throne with white robes and gold trim, putting himself on a platform, onto a throne above the people to make himself be, you know, all men have to come through me to get through Jesus to get to God.
And we're not supposed to call any man father, but what do they want you to kneel down in front of him? Bow down, call him father, and kiss his ring.
All along, if you go back, all men being created equal.
I'll bend over backwards for people.
Then,
not bend overboard.
These folks up here that stand up on a pedestal and they preach out the holy scriptures of whatever religion that they believe in and put themselves as the leader of the congregation, you look up at me and I will teach you how to be saved. In my book it said no man comes unto the Father.
Send me three blank signed checks and two credit cards with PIN numbers and we'll teach you how to draw also. Yeah.
Well,
and if you give a $350 gift, we'll give you these two CDs. In the last day, they shall make merchandise of the people.
Well, you got a Social Security number and you got a birth certificate, so literally you have a title like a title to a car. So, you know, we are numbered, and we are categorized. We are literally considered by the elite of this world cattle. We are what they would call collateral damage or expendable.
Hey, yeah, let's sell weapons to another country and bring them over here to the United States and let's teach them how to use these weapons and say, oh yeah, well we got a population problem. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is,
it will allow you so many people for so much. Yeah, we need money.
The thing
we'll
is, buddy,
and we'll take your money.
The thing is, we, the people, can change the direction that our world is going in. no matter what all these conspiracies say, we have the potential, in the potential energy alone, in the numbers of the humans of this world right now, we literally have the potential to defeat the evils of this world. We have the potential to do so. But
yeah,
we are compartmentalized. We have the black man on one side of the street. We have the white man on the other side of the street. We got the Asians on the other side. The Native Americans on one side. We got everybody on each side. Everybody saying, "Well, you did this. You did that. You're this and you're that." And they're fighting amongst each other, and they haven't figured out a way to bring their energies together in unity in order to defeat the evil that it is eating each and every one of them alive. It's not any particular society. When you talk about the Jews, you paint all Jews with a wide brush. When you talk about the Germans, you paint the Germans with all one wide brush. And we know from history that there are those who have supported each one of the individuals out there who had atrocities being committed against them. We know that there were people out there like that. There are structures from history that show that there were underground tunnels that the slaves were able to get under there. And those were white people that were running those places. You see what I'm saying? They risked their life, their liberty, everything that they had to help these people because they believed that their world wasn't right at that point in time. The same thing with all nations of the world. There were people of all colors helping people of all colors, helping people of all religious backgrounds. The majority of all the individuals who outnumber the elite by the millions have helped throughout the entire history to try to right the wrongs of this world. And when I see people arguing amongst each other, well, the Christians are blah, 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 the Muslims, blah, 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 and so on and so forth, I get sick to my stomach because I'm trying to say, look, I wasn't even alive when this happened. Chances are you weren't even alive when this happened. And we both agree that it was wrong. We both know that this should never have occurred and should never repeat itself in the history of our future or our children's future. And so what are we going to do from this point on? Are we going to carry that burden into the future and let it anchor us down from what we could accomplish? Or are we going to come together in unity and shine? That's the hard part. Because the anger and the hurt and the pain and the cuts are so deep from the history of all nations. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Here, Len says, if we really are all children of God, then we are not American, Canadian, Aussie, Asian. We are all one of God's children. Right? So let's stop saying we are a label. Well, start saying we are all. Right. Pretty cool.
That's a good deal. I wish that's what we would do.
I got good news for you. Talking about making things, but I got good news for you. You remember that thing? What was it? The thing of 100 monkeys or what is it? 1,000 monkeys?
You know what I'm talking about?
They take a bunch of monkeys, they put them all on an island, they teach them how to make a tool and use a tool and do certain things, and guess what? From that same batch of monkeys that didn't go to that island, next thing, they were doing the same thing. I think monkeys got souls too, or spirits. But you know what? They're connected. And I think the people are connected. So you know what? While we're sitting here trying to make sure that everybody knows all this stuff, I know it's in their heart. I know it's in their heart. I know it's all over. I see it in the people.
Finally.
The people are starting to get interested.
Finally.
In what's going on.
Finally. Somebody said it.
That's one of the main things that they can't fight. When we all know the truth of what's going on, it nullifies the lie.
Finally. Somebody
said it. That's what keeps setting back the clock on the amount of things and the things are, it has to happen in stages, but we can't let it. When we start ignoring what's going on and not fighting it, their consent, and that's just another step, another step, another step.
There is a saying, Muddy.
We are not to give up.
If a
we
tree
are to praise, not to rant and live in fear.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? Sure it does. It ripples throughout all of nature, which ripples throughout all of humanity, because we are connected. We are all intertwined, and we're all on the same path to the same destruction or heaven on earth either way. Everything out there has a consequence. Everything that you do or don't do makes a difference in this world. And merely by talking to yourself somewhere and either preaching the glory or bringing up the devil.
Yes, it does. Let me tell you something. I lived in Hampton, Virginia, and I did the taxi business. I knew where all the danger spots in the town was and how far it spread and what your chances are here and there. But, you know, no matter where I lived in Hampton, Virginia, I heard gunshots up and down the streets. Two times at least, sometimes three. But there are some times where I only heard shots once or twice. It was just a big old crack and, you know, The town had a lot of crack going on and other drugs. And plus, you had all the scallopers coming in with $4,000 and want to blow it in a couple days and then borrow some back till they get back on the boat. That's pretty much what I saw. I saw gangsta wannabes. I saw kids looking up. I want to be tough. I want to take care of my neighbor. I want to be the guy here. I want to do what he did. He was a great example. Blah, blah, blah. I see people selling cashews with ambisol, calling it crack, trying to get rich, and crazy stuff happening. But here, a hurricane came into Hampton, Virginia. For 2 weeks, zero gunshots. Were people looting? No. The food line gave food because it was going to go bad. Come get it. We went to the beach. We cooked out. At night, it was nice and quiet. You hear a generator off in the air. You could hear for miles. You didn't hear a bunch of cars because there wasn't much gas. The gas stations hadn't really got maybe one pump running here if it was running off a generator. You know, people go to another town to get gas and fill up. You know what? It was quiet. The lights were out. We could see the stars. Oh, my goodness. People did crazy things. The people took care of it. And they didn't shoot these people. You know what? They'd bring them down to the police station. No problem. But there wasn't very many of them. Guess what? We ruled. We worked good. And you know what? When I'm talking about the monkeys, you could feel peace and love in the air. And without all its stupid radiation of different kind of radio frequencies and sine waves and the music with all the subliminal crap in it and all this bombardment of in the sea of frequencies slamming us. People were happy.
Well, brother,
that feeling spread all the way across town. People were making jokes about this. Their electricity wasn't turned on after a week and they got a sign out there. We need electric, Cherry Acres. We need electricity too. You know, and phone number BR549. You know, put a sign out there. Yep, this neighborhood is under watch by us. No problems. Nobody did. I didn't hear any gunshots. You go to the beach. There was all sorts of people. They're all smiling and helping each other make the food and hand it out. It was a wonderful time. It wasn't a catastrophe. It wasn't a disaster. There were trees laying across the road. It put people to work. Money came in. People were getting new stuff. Everybody's happy. When the times get tough, the people bond together and they start feeling this love. No wonder why it says in the last day, the Spirit will be poured out upon man. Thank you, Two Dog. All life has spirit. Exactly. You gotta love it, brother. There's good things going. There's people waking up. That's the good news. And they're not waking up all because somebody told them. It's because they can see. What I'd like to make sure people knew is how to take care of your stuff. What does your neighbor do for a living? What else can he do? What about when things go down? What are these people's ability? Get to know the people around you and show your abilities. What can you do for your neighbor?
The best thing I think that you can do for your neighbor and the world in general, yeah, is, you know, we do have to talk about bad things that's happened in this world in order to address them. To discuss history, but to do it in a manner in which we're not carrying that burden over onto somebody else and bringing them to a hatred of another person. You know, if I sit and I talk about the history of the Cherokee people, we all know what happened. I have Cherokee blood in my vein. I also have French Canadian in my veins. And so, from all different directions in my past, it's essentially that who do I hold a grudge against in my heritage? Who do I hold at fault? And it all boils down to me personally, that the only person that I can hold at fault, because it's not mine to judge any man or woman of this world, is myself. I can only hold myself fault for my own actions, my own personal actions, my own personal, what's the word I'm looking for, prejudices or lack thereof. I can only control what I have done in my life. And I can only show remorse for things that I have done. I can only try to make up for my mistakes. I can't carry the burdens of the forefathers of anybody. I have to carry my own burdens. I have my own cross to bear in this world. And I see that my actions, they make a difference in this world. What I do affects everyone. And so I'm trying to live my life by example so that I don't affect anybody adversely, to where in the future I have yet even more regrets because I've done something to offend or harm somebody in this world. I have learned it. I don't have no questions of where I came from. All I have is where I'm going now. Where we are all going. The footprints that I leave behind, like Two Dogs said in the Lakota proverb. You will be known by your tracks that you leave behind. I want to, me personally, and I hope that others feel the same way, I want to leave good tracks behind. I want to plant seeds, fruit trees for people. I want to plant seeds of hope and love for people in hopes that if I'm not there to enjoy the fruits of my labor, that somewhere down along the line, the legacy that I have left behind as a person makes the future a better way. And the ends don't justify the means to the extent that I need to go out and harm anybody in order to get things done or deceive anybody in order to make things happen. And the phrase that I initially punched into the chat rooms up there, I'm going to read it one last time because I think it's important. It says, America's being destroyed from the inside to the out by Americans and the world to bring about Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order of the ages, the pluribus unum, Latin for out of many, one. Whatever you want to call it, people believe that all ends justify the means. Therefore, they have you doing their work for them, pitting one against another. Now, there are people out there in right-wing extremists, left-wing extremists, and all different extremist views who feel like they got to do whatever they can. The ends justify the mean, and when we get on the other side, everyone will thank us for it. That is not what we, the people, want. What we the people want is what Two Dogs said. We the people want to be known by the tracks that we left behind. We the people want the better world. We want to create the better world, but we don't want to deceive in order to get there. We don't want to kill in order to get there, because in our hearts, in the truth of what our Creator has laid upon us, the ends never justify the means if it entails bringing harm to another living soul. If it entails destroying the beautiful earth that we live on, our life-sustaining ride through the galaxy, our water, our trees, our animals, if we can't be the good caretakers of nature and the land and one another, then our Creator will take it away from us. Just like your father would take away something from you that you were going to harm yourself or others with.
God left us in a garden. Look what we did with it. Oh my goodness.
We trashed it. We had a party. Hey, wahoo, we're free. Yay. Look at that.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think, bro. It's not what happens to you that is your problem. It's what you do about it that becomes a problem or a blessing. We know what's going on. Look, people, you're going to need to eat. The shelves are going to be bare at Walmart. Grow your food. Learn how to plant. Even if you do bucket gardens, which are cool because you can move them around. And you can make them with reservoirs. Make your own food. What about your cars? Yeah, here we go. They throw an EMP pulse. Guess what? Your computer ain't going to work. Your car ain't going to work because it's got a computer. Your cell phones ain't going to work. It's nothing but micro crap that burns out real quick with an EMP pulse. Tube radios will work. If you can replace the diodes. Let's look at it one more way. Well, what's going to be more priceless than anything? Well, some people say it's going to be their cars and their transportation. And, or maybe fuel. Here we go. Yeah, if you're going to get in a car, you need points and condenser and a vacuum advanced distributor. Priceless. And they're cheap to buy, too. There's another point. If you grow your own food, you learn how to hold your water, you can do aquaponics with a solar panel. Small swimming pool or any tank, maybe the water tank to 250-gallon water tanks, and grow your vegetables vertically. Takes up very little footprint, and for less than a dollar or two today, man, the family can eat. It's 5 cents on the dollar to grow your food and meat with the fish and everything there.
Well, not only that.
Here's what I think is very valuable. If the transportation is valuable, then let's get these bicycles set up to run on a battery or two for pedal assist. I'm doing a three-wheeled bicycle. I'm going to put two batteries on the back, and I'm going to throw a tape drive motor to that rear wheel, which is going to drive them. I think it's going to be great. They're real easy to figure out. Look up steering geometry. Well, if you leave two front wheels that stay straight and the back one's the one that turns, well, that makes it kind of easy. I'm going to do a three-wheeled lay-down recumbent reverse trike. And I'm going to go to my shop, and I'm going to hook up to my wind turbine or my solar panels. And I'm going to go home, and I'm going to hook up to my wind turbine or my solar panels. And I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to make a small trailer. I'll be able to do what I need to do. I'll be able to haul a few things around. And basically, all that is nothing but a pedal assist. Rather than going 20 miles an hour, you're going by, you know, you're going more than 20 miles an hour. You're doing about 30 or 40 because you have less wind resistance. That's pretty much as valuable as a car. But you got to know how to heat your water. You got to know how to cook. You got to know what you're going to do, and you got to figure out your food supply, even if it's in conjunction with your neighbors. What can they do? Arrest us all for having gardens?
Well, one of the things
they probably will say yes.
One of the things that is a benefit of growing your own food is growing more than you actually need and sharing it with your neighbors.
Right. They made that illegal. Well, you know, that's because they know that's the only thing that'll make us survive.
The problem...
Make it legal to heat your house with a wood stove. That means when they cut off all the power,
buddy,
you're going to freeze in the winter.
Buddy, the problem with being illegal is that people ask for permission to do so. I'm not going to ask for permission to grow extra tomatoes in there and share with my neighbors. And if it comes to the day that the men in black kick my door down because I'm passing out food to my neighbors, then so be it. If I go to prison for feeding my neighbors, then so be it. But once I get out of prison, guess what I'm going to do again? I'm going to plant more food than I need, and I'm going to pass it around to my neighbors. And when the majority of the people out there in this world decide and stop asking the government for permission to feed the hungry and to shelter and clothe the homeless, then it's going to continue to be illegal. Now, if you want it done, you just got to do it. If you want to feed the homeless, feed the homeless. It may require you to spend some time in jail. If it's illegal in your general vicinity, then go to jail. And when you get out, do the same thing. Stay consistent and true to your beliefs and do. And if other people out there in this world see that you keep getting in jail and you keep coming out and you keep feeding the homeless and over again, they're liable to come with you. They're liable to be in jail with you the next time. And then the next time around, there's too many people to take to jail. We got a problem now. You see what I'm saying? It's like the smile on your face. The common sense can catch on. Do you have something, Barry?
Hey, you want good morning to this day, you know.
Hey,
you know,
Barry, I'm sorry. I wasn't watching the. I wasn't watching Knights of the Round Table in a thumbs up.
I had to get a couple copies of me before I even attempt to talk to them. Brain don't pick up very quickly. But anyway, that is what you're saying there. Is how we stop this is that everybody out there know and enforce what the Constitution of the United States says. That is the most powerful weapon that you have in your hands, and people are not realizing the power endowed to them by this Constitution. When they come to your door and they tell you you can't grow vegetables on your property, challenge them. Challenge them. I'm going to share one thing with your audience here today, and I don't know if
many people are there. It's in the Constitution. It's unlawful. What are you
exactly.
Trying to enforce the law? Or are you trying to enforce some stupid statute that was written illegally?
You have to use the Constitution as your weapon, gentlemen and gentlelady, because it's the only thing that will really work at this point in history. You have to challenge
them. Your common law right to forage.
I'm going to share one thing with you guys. I don't know if anybody out there follows the National Religious Alliance and follows what John and Lydia are doing, but she just had a landmark ruling in her favor in family court, whereas now, if you are not you guys have to go to the National Liberty Alliance and listen to what the Lyric Lydia is doing, because basically it comes down to this, that if you are tried in family court and judged on by a judge, you can go in there right now, challenge it, and everything that judge, every decision that judge has made against you ever in family court will be thrown out. You have the right to be tried by jury. That is one of your constitutional rights as an American citizen, and most American citizens don't invoke that right. If that right is not offered to you prior to going to court or offered to you by the judge, then she or he is in defiance of the law. And this is one of the most powerful weapons. What I'm telling you guys right now, is absolutely going to shake the American judicial system. And that's where we really have to attack. We have to attack the judges. We have to attack the courts. We have to attack all these corrupt judges that are being paid and bought and are making decisions in family court that are just absolutely astronomical. And they're not being challenged. They're not offering a jury option to the defendant. And that is one of your constitutional rights. If people read the Constitution and understood it, this would absolutely shut down what's going on in family courts right now in the United States of America. Just one simple solution by really studying your Constitution. You know, I've got a copy of your Constitution on my wall in front of me right now. And I read it all the time because people say to me, Barry, why do you care about what's going on in the United States of America? Well, we're doing what the heck. What's going on in Canada is just a mirror image right now of exactly what's going on in the United States of America. And as you go, we go. So I'm finding myself wanting to become more and more educated. I'm just telling you guys, if you study this thing, it is the most powerful weapon you can put in your hand right now. And that's what American people have to do with this thing. So just my thoughts.
Well, we need people to continue to educate people about such things so that, you know that they have tools at their disposal. See, the system's pretty wise about building itself so that you're not aware of things. There's a lot of people out there who know how to game the system because they know what they can get from the governments and what they can't get from the governments. They know how to go about it. They know what laws. I mean, for instance, an attorney. Why do you even need an attorney? Because there are so many laws out there that it takes somebody who had been gone through years of school in order to be able to understand and translate that law to the average Joe who doesn't have that knowledge. Now, if we were down to the basic laws of nature, the common sense laws, essentially, you know, thou shalt not kill or else you're going to jail or something like that, you know, that's simple. People can understand that. But the system has been designed so intricately, that so twisted that, you know, they say that ignorance is no excuse to the law. Just because you don't know doesn't make it not illegal. Well, do you know that there's still a law on the book in Kansas City, Missouri, that says that if you drive, you can't drive an automobile from one side of the city limits, you have to stop it, shut it off, have a horse or mule team drag it across to the other side, and then take it out. Do you know how many people are breaking the law?
There's another one written in you got to blow your horn three times. If you're in a motor car, you stop at the city limit sign, you blow your horn three times, and you got to wait 10 minutes to wait for everybody to come out and get their children and horses off the street.
Yeah. Even cops are breaking that law, man. It's still on the books. It's still a law. It's still illegal.
A man has to walk in front of the horseless carriage. The man must walk in front of it to escort it into town, in a certain town.
With a lantern. Does anybody own a lantern these days?
You better not let Judy know about that because they'll be out writing a whole bunch of tickets. Look at this guy.
Well, any cop out there who found out about that law, you could legally go around and write everyone a citation. Now, obviously, when they get to court, it would get kicked out of court and the cop would probably get fired.
But wouldn't it be neat to go to that town, blow your horn three times, have a guy walk you into town with a lantern, and just say you're obeying the law?
That's right, they couldn't do nothing to you, because if it's on the books, it's law.
That's right.
And they say, well, we just leave that there for historical reasons. We didn't think anybody would ever enforce it. Well, I think it should be enforced. It should be enforced just to show the ludicrousy of the legal system that we have to contend with. And you wonder why your average Joe's freaking out every time he gets a traffic ticket.
Exactly. You know, because you look at the success rate of the courts against the citizens now in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Astronomical. If you go into court against the government, your chances of winning against the government in court right now, according to their stats, is 7%.
Yeah, know this, that it's not so innocent until proven guilty anymore. Yeah. It's guilty until proven innocent.
Right. And, of course, that brings in the fear factor. People know they're going to go in there and they're going to get lambasted. It's not about justice anymore in the United States of America, and that's the kind of shame. That's the bottom of the grassroots that really could make a difference in society right away. What these people are doing is important. You guys want to have a look at that today, guys. Have a look at what Lydia was doing and her challenging court and the decision. It's landmark, and it really represents a dismantling of the corruption inside, especially the system as far as child protection services go. The judgments being made by these judges are unchallenged, and legally they are not allowed to do that. And that's what's being, and they cannot deny this. This is something that they cannot deny. They know they're in a lot of trouble over this issue. So it's kind of exciting to see this kind of thing happen. Yeah. I applaud the lady for her tenacity. But she's been in jail. She's been harassed. She has an after-law. She has been physically assaulted. And she still trumpets forward. So kudos to her.
One of the problems that America has as a society is the fact that people have been basically using the government like daddy, all right? And you've got two kids, and they're always going tattling on each other. Yeah. Daddy, such and such did this, and such did that, and now Dad throws down a new rule. I mean, every day, your Dad is creating a new rule in the house. Okay, from now on, we're not doing this any longer. I don't want to hear no more about it. All right, well, the same thing applies with your freedoms out there. If you don't like it because your neighbor's got an American flag over there because somebody told you at one point in your history that it was racist to have an American flag because of all the past history of America wasn't a shining example of what we all should be doing and leading our lives like. So I don't want to see that American flag because it might offend my Muslim brother over here. All right? So you got to take it down. When you start doing that, then the next thing you know, it's your little troll doll that's sitting out there on your front lawn. No, we can't have that because that's racist against short people. All right? And then next thing you know, there are crazy laws on the books everywhere. And they're going to continue to add. They're going to continue to cluster. And the people at the top don't care. They don't care how many crazy laws you have on the books because guess what? Guess where the money goes to when they drag you up into court in front of the judge with the powdered wig and he throws his gavel down and says, you got to pay. It goes in their pocket. It goes to their war machine. It goes to their corrupt system behind the scenes. The whole mafia look-alike system that we call the United States government. In all the different facets, from the top all the way down to the bottom, to the cities, to the townships themselves. Folks in power take for granted that power, and they love that power, and they use that power to justify their actions in all different directions, and they pull things on each other, and the corruption, you know, somebody said power corrupts, and
absolutely.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. We, the people, are our worst enemy. And they know it. Until we figure that out, until we learn things like what Barry's talking about, we're not going to know we even have a choice. The system is gaming your wallet. The system is playing you like a banjo. If you could just put on the whole doggone doodling banjo song and you think about the government and you, that's what's going on. And every time you're running through your life and you're doing the things you're doing and buying the licenses and paying the taxes and doing all this stuff, you know, you got this little sound in the background, ka-ching, 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 you're racking up a bill, brother. You got your lights on, you're racking up a bill, ka-ching, ka-ching, you're running your water, you got a bill, ka-ching, ka-ching. And every time you turn around, they throw another deal on the deal. You got to pay for your solar now. You got to pay for your wind now. You got to pay for the air that you're breathing out your mouth.
Yeah, the carbon tax. Now, what if I had a deal that made oxygen and took the carbon out of the air? Then could they tax me?
They have a reversal. It's called the reversal tax.
It's pay me. And if everybody put a solar panel out there and sit there and reverse that much process every day, then we could all say, well, if it costs that much, give me my money back because I did your work for you.
Yeah, when does it get to the point where they owe you now?
Yeah, here's your receipt, give me my money.
There isn't a middle-class family in the United States of America right now that can't be aware of what's going on because the middle class is just absolutely being destroyed. I mean, you can't go into any American city now and drive down the street and not see an empty factory. I mean, the government is ramping up their economy. You see the stocks all doing great. But the truth is, it's just absolutely falling apart right now. The American economy is falling apart. It's in a spiral, and it's not going to stop. The American dollar is in a spiral right now. We really have to watch this particular time in history, guys.
It could stop if the people could understand that all this stuff is being done to them by them.
Exactly. We have to step back from the system, completely step away from the system, and non-compliance. that that would take a monumental effort of a united people.
Well, and that's the key. We're not talking about a united government. We're not talking about a one world government or a one world religion. We're talking about a one world idea, the way it should have been all along. There was a podcast I was listening to, or a show that I was listening to yesterday, where they were talking about how the original Americans who were here, they didn't own the land. They just took care of it. They borrowed it, so to speak, from nature. And they honored it, you know. And they honored one another.
And they taught their children. And their children did the same thing.
Yeah.
They taught their children.
That's the one world idea that I'm talking about. See, you can learn something from that, you know.
But that's been taken away from society, shouldn't it? And it's been done very well and incrementally over time to bring it to this point where society isn't functioning like a normal society anymore. We're self-centered, greedy individuals that live in our houses and watch TV. And that's where society, that's where they brought us to the society. I'm not saying us, I'm saying society in general has been completely brainwashed. So it says the influence of TV and society is just astronomical. The most important thing you can do right now is turn that thing off. Number one.
Yeah.
Oil and black. All of a sudden, you know, things are a little different.
Too,
you just got to look at how society's gotten to where it is with this and why it's been brought to that point and the weapons they use and the things they use.
To get society...
It boggles me. It really does.
To get society to unplug from the matrix is going to be a simple case of this. Is that those who have wisdom in this world need to be the folks that are not... what's the word I'm looking for? Like if I know somebody's an alcoholic and I'm giving them, I'm helping them. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm basically assisting them to be an alcoholic because I continue to give them alcohol. Or what I could have done all along was not. Try to be the one helping them in the sense that I'm giving them their drug of choice, but I am staying by their side to catch them when they fall. You see what I'm saying? Eventually, these kids out here that are going through what they're going through and the ones that are sitting on the couch are going to come to a realization that, hey, something just isn't right, and they're going to come looking for answers. We're going to be there.
You want to get inspired to this? Anybody out there that's listening right now, Google Smithers High School Environmental Project and look what the kids of Smithers, British Columbia are doing. They are winning awards around the world right now for what they're doing in environmental studies, free energy, green technology. Smithers High School, guys, go Google it. I just had a talk with him 2 days ago. The gentleman that's leading, spearheading this whole operation, this new train of thought in Smithers.
Well, if you think about throwing a link to that in there, I would like to see that.
I will find it here in a minute. It's Smithers High School. I can give you the guy's name and everything else she does here. It's just incredible that all of a sudden we see a pile of young people going, wow, wait a second.
That's right.
I still like to figure out what that word was.
Mission. That's the biggest mission we've got right now, guys, is to reach our young
people. You're chatting about it on World of Warcraft.
What, Smithers High School?
Kids playing the games, man. They're chats that go back and forth. They are not. Some of them are on the game, but there's a good portion of them that are on what's going on around us. The kids
all
are...
All we got to do is unplug them from that mechanism.
All you got to do is plant a seed, and then when they hear it from their friends, all of a sudden it's cool.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You have to be a lighthouse, man.
They hear us, they see us, they understand a few things we say. We say something, they look at you like you're stupid. Weeks later, somebody pops up with the same thing in the doggone chat, and, oh, yeah, and they start repeating everything that you said.
I was in Smithers yesterday because I'm a kind of a flea market type of guy, and I had the opportunity to talk to these kids from high school. And I'm going to get the links for you guys. All you have to do is create Smithers High School Environmental Project and look at what these kids are doing. I can get the link for you, but you can find it real quickly. Just Google that. and tell you everything about what they're doing, all the projects they have, and the goals they're getting stories written in Science Journals right now. So it's really, really inspiring. And I had a chance to talk to a few of them yesterday while I was standing on the street corner with a bunch of other vendors selling my collectibles, one of my hobbies, and it was inspiring to hear some of the stuff that came out of their mouths. I shared your site with them. I told them to go look at this. I told them about this radio show. I told them about some of the creators you guys I'm invited, what I'm involved with and what they're doing. And they're all going, yeah, we know about Magnus and that. We know about this. We know about that. We know about what Germany's doing right now with their solo programs and how it's advancing really quickly and what they're actually producing in power right now. Astronomical numbers. Why can't that be done here? That's the same question that everybody was asking yesterday, and these young kids, why can't it be done here? Doesn't the sun shine here? So it was a great day, guys.
I'm glad to hear stuff like that. We need to hear more stories like that. That's what we need, is so people to go out into the world and find these stories and bring them here so that they can be said on not just this network, but every other network out there.
Well, I'm sure this high school can have ripple effects in all the other schools in the area. I'm sure they're all going to sit back and start paying attention to what they're doing. I mean, two hours down the road ain't far, you know. Word travels fast in the north here. And I just say kudos to these young people. And what if the rest of school all of a sudden across the country started to look at this and go, well, wait a second, let's have a look at this. And all of a sudden you've planted 10,000 seeds in a month. All of a sudden you've got 50,000 young minds going, wait a second, hold on. This crap they're teaching us is a charade, and that's what it is. Just got to open your eyes, buddy, and I say kudos to you guys. I mean, Shazam, if you ever think about quitting this, I will come over there in my ears. I will, okay?
Well, I appreciate that.
Don't ever get discouraged, because we all do. I mean, we all get discouraged, and sometimes we don't think people are listening. Sometimes we're not reaching people, but you know what? We are. People are really starting to pay attention. And at this point, we need to come like a wave back. We really do, because there's some pretty awesome, nasty stuff moving in the background right now.
The word I was looking for is enabling. That's the word I was looking for. When you enable somebody to be an alcoholic, then, you know, pretty much you're not helping their situation out. You know, sometimes it's well-meaning loved ones that are actually causing the problems, you know. I don't want my significant other to suffer, so I'm going to give them that. Or I don't want my significant other to be angry, so I'm going to give them that, you know. And just try to keep them calm and peaceful, and that's it. Well, we're enabling our children to be rude to us. We're enabling our children to be dumb in front of us, you know. We're enabling our children to literally feed the system that is the beast that's eating us all alive. And the only thing that we can be for them to be right, and maybe like tough love, is not to enable them, but to stand by them and try to guide them and be there for them when they fall, because society will fall. Without a doubt, on this path, society will definitely fall. America will fall flat on its face. And it's not just going to be America, folks. It's going to be the world. The entire world is getting ready to fall. And if we, the folks out here of like-minded, I said, I don't believe that we're here for nothing. I don't believe that we have the talents in our speaking and our actions and doing what it is that we do behind the scenes. I don't believe it's all for nothing. I believe that there's a certain point in time when those who can speak up, those who can talk, do talk, and they speak common sense to the world, so that those who are getting ready to fall have some sort of light at the end of the tunnel, some sort of lighthouse, a beacon in the night, you know, such as what keeps the ships from crashing on the shore. I think that's our job. And if I'm wrong, it's not a bad case to go for anyway.
Yeah, be a light and light the way. That's what I was saying before.
Well, I would rather be a lighthouse than a darkness on somebody's soul. You know? A blight on society. When Two Dog put that phrase inside there was so much that came to my mind about the I gotta find it again, about I think it was the Lakota parable or deal. Do you remember what that was there, Smitty? There it is, Lakota.
You will be known by the tracks you leave behind you.
Yeah. Now see, that's from some wise individual in this world.
And never let another man pay the price for your mistakes.
I
have regretted knowing that, and I have done it many times. I've made sure that I've paid the price back for a mistake I made to somebody. And you know what? I feel good about it. It was a character builder of all things.
Well, I'm kind of like this. Whatever I've done bad in my past, I want to make over 400 times over. Because, you know, hey, it's like the whole karma deal. Sometimes it's instantaneous karma. You know, you mouth off at somebody and then fall down the stairs. Whose fault is it?
Like in The Taxi Man, I saved lives. I did all sorts of stuff for people. You know what? I don't regret a bit of it, man. I used to wake up and sit there and think about the events and this and that. And I couldn't wait to find the first person trying to hurt somebody or down somebody. I wanted to go jerk a knot in and straighten them out. I even got an innocent man away from a girl. I'm sorry, away from some bounty hunters. They came out with guns drawn. They fired a couple shots. I was off. You know what? They contacted me later and said, "Do you want to work for us? We never saw anybody drive like that in our life." I said, "We got a big old hopped up truck. You lost us. That's the first time in like 5 years. I said, I'll lose you again if you sit there and start firing and drawing guns." I said, "What do you think?" It's like go out and reach out, pet a bit bull, he bites your hand. You think you're going to reach out and do it again? I've seen too many gunfires. I've seen too many crazy things. And I've seen too many people in trouble that weren't guilty. I said, "Look, I said, you want to find that person? You find them, you take the guns away and go up and meet them. I bet they'll come up to you and say, 'Yeah, let's go get this straightened out.' But you got somebody scared and on the run." I said, "How do you expect them to sit there and just, 'Okay, here I am, put your hands up, go boom, boom, boom,' because that's what it seems like to them." I said, "Wake up." I said, there's your hint for the day." And I walked off and left him.
Well, in the worst possible time.
The guy was reaching in for his gun. The guy that was driving was standing outside the pickup. He reached inside for his gun. I drove right straight at the door. Doggone, he was hiding, trying to get his feet up off the door. That bought me time, and I was going the opposite direction. Gone, quick. No problem.
In the worst possible times.
Fear is a crazy, crazy thing.
In the worst possible times, the least likely heroes surface. You know, it happens all the time. It's happened in every natural disaster out there. And folks would like to have us all believe that when things go completely bad, that every single person out there is going to turn into this salivating, meat-eating monster with rabies or something, and they're going to start tearing each other apart. But I've seen in times, worst times, some of the really worst people, as far as society goes, do some pretty profound things in order to try to help somebody else out. We were given free will, which gives us the power to commit either evil or to do something right. It's a choice. Your life from this point on, I always tell everybody, you know, look, we had a bad day today, but tomorrow the sun's going to come out. Our Creator, good Lord, in the heavens above, from my point of view, gave us a clean slate. Every day that the sun comes up is a new clean slate, and you have the opportunity what you want to write on that. You have the opportunity what kind of footprint that you're going to put on there. Is it going to be a damaging footprint that harms somebody along the way, or are you going to tread lightly during that day in order to try to help other folks out and do something positive for the world? You can get up out of the wrong side of the bed and start cursing from the time you get up till the time you go to bed, and go to bed angry with sadness and frustration on your heart. Or you can do something good and go to bed with a little bit of confidence and relief in your soul that you did something good for the world today. You did something wonderful for your family or your friends or even a total stranger for that matter. That's the gift that was given to us. That was the free will, that rising sun every morning, the new day, the fresh sound of the birds chirping in the trees, you know, that annoying frog out there by the pond that just won't shut up and you want to sleep in a little bit extra. Y'all have had it happen before. Have you ever had a frog on your wall in your bedroom and you couldn't find the doggone thing and he's
No, I've had crickets.
Crickets are bad enough. They want to sing to you, brother.
You know,
you don't want to hear it.
They pay hundreds of dollars for a cricket over there in China. Or was it Japan? They like the ones that sing.
Well, send them all the ones from my house. I like silence when I'm trying to sleep, you know? Less than listening to the radio. But the key is the choice is ours. And it always has been from day one. You know? The rules were set down. Who by who is whatever your spiritual journey tells you. Alright? But the fact of the matter is those are some good common sense rules. And if we could actually get back to the real natural law of the world and we could actually be the caretakers and you are your brother's keepers. You know, you're the caretakers of the land and the animals and nature. You know, if you live in a house and you keep the house clean, then you have a nice house. If you live in a house and you don't keep it clean, then eventually you got these little critters that come in and they start taking the walls down. And a lot of folks haven't really thought about this very much. If your house is a total trash zone and nature figures, well, you're not taking care of it, you must be done with it.
Hey, stop talking about me.
Nature's going to start taking it out. Nature's going to eat your house out right from underneath you. You'll be sitting on an old raggedy couch out in the woods and wondering what happened. But if you kept your house clean from start to finish, then apparently you're still using it. If you're mowing your lawn and you're taking care of the flowers and the plants, then nature figures you're taking care of it. You're using it. But you neglect nature. Nature will take back what you do not use. It's as simple as that.
That's right. That dead wood that fell off the tree, if you don't burn it, it'll go into the soil and make more tree.
Yeah. And those dead tree limbs hanging from your tree out there because you're too lazy to go out there and try to prune it and trim it up and that kind of stuff might bonk you in the head one day.
Well, she might be ready. She might be getting ready to get a big slap in the face, though.
Well, you might be right, brother.
Maybe we need it, but I think she's getting ready to go.
And you know as well as I do that when nature slaps you down, nature ain't playing around.
Well, we kind of look at a few of the things that are going on, especially with the rise of earthquakes. You know, it's just astronomical. The 7.2s and skies that are going off around the world is unprecedented right now. And I recorded yesterday of earthquakes. So we've never seen a rise like this, guys. So she's definitely very disturbed right now.
Well,
I don't know what, but it's, you know, there's just too much going on geologically right now to sit back and go, hey, it's just a passing phase. It's a lot more than that. It's like I said, it's being geological events, lives of geological events right now that if you look at them on the internet and study it, unprecedented in part of the recorded history. So something's going on, guys.
I want to give an example. A scientific example of what we're talking about using a little circuit called the Slayer exciter and the fluorescent bulb. When you're close to the source of that energy, that bulb is as bright as all get out. And the further you get away from that Slayer exciter and that coil, the dimmer that bulb gets until you finally get all the way completely into the darkness and away from that energy. That bulb is completely out. So there is an opposite side of the spectrum on good and evil. You can either go completely off into the darkness or you can go completely into the light. It's your choice. Nature is going to do what nature does with or without you. And if you go in the wrong direction and you are the one that the bugs are carrying off, you got to know that you've been told. It's been showed right there in front of you. Nature takes back what you're using, and if you ain't using yourself, guess what? Little kids sing a song about that, I think.
You aren't using the land, little tree sprouts come up too.
Yep.
They take the land.
Right now, we got something massive coming our way. And it's something that's desperately needs addressing. I ain't talking about Planet X. I'm not talking about the doomsday scenario. I'm talking about the literal downfall of all mankind. We will be put in our place, regardless of what we believe or do not believe. And if we're not ready for that episode, we will be just like they all said. We'll be scrounging through the trash for our food. We'll be fighting one another for our survival. And we will do that all the way up until the time when we all fail. When the last breath is taken by the last human on this earth, and the last sunset heads over the horizon. This experiment that we call humanity and freedom and sovereignty, it will all go into the abyss, never to be seen or heard from again.
The United States is referred to in the Bible as Babylon, you know, that's the biblical description of America. Yeah, if you study it, buddy, if you really study biblical prophecy and go through the Bible and take the verses that refer, every one of them that refer to this particular time in history, you won't see any talk in the Bible of the actual destruction of America as described as America. But you will hear about the destruction of Babylon.
I think
the thing that Babylon is what America is today.
I think that the entire world entire world is Babylon. I think that if you look at everything that's going on in every single nation and it talks about coming out of her, all right? If you live of the world for the world, then you pretty much support the system. But if you can take yourself back to the source of what we were supposed to be for, you know, by our Creator, and we're not ones that want to run around and gather up the gold and the silver and power and all that kind of stuff, and we live for fame and fortune, but we're actual caretakers, and we come out of Babylon, which I believe is worldwide because it happens in all nations. There is smut, trash being spewed out in all nations, in all separate tongues.
But it's just a reference to one nation that is evil, powerful nation. Everything about it talks about this particular nation, the particular leader, the king of the north, who rises and defeats the king of the south. You see America being set up right now for invasion. All it would take right now, you know and I know, and people that really know, that all it would take for America to completely be destroyed is one EMP. Because all electrical systems shut down, all communication shut down, opens the door to a mass invasion. We know they're setting it up. We know the United Nations is involved. This is a very, very, very particular time in the history. What we were talking about earlier, she said, and this is something that needs to be talked about, is the effect of the EMP, the effect on society when society turns to the Stone Age. And all it would take is one EMP set off 20 miles above the United States of America, and every electrical system in the United States is shut down for up to 5 to 7 to possibly 10 years.
With all exception.
Shut down. Unbelievable.
With exception.
Of certain things, of course.
The military have the wisdom to know that vacuum tubes will withstand an electromagnetic pulse, whereas a microchip will not.
Exactly. And they are shielding against that. They know that this is a real potential threat, but it's still going to throw society into major chaos. There's only so much that the military can shield. We're talking about nuclear power plants without power. We're talking about society without power. The implications of that alone, nuclear power plants without power, should be that just absolutely boggles my mind how we are active and working in the United States of America. If we can shut down the power grid, what are going to happen to all these nuclear power plants in 30 days from the backup system?
Well, they were designed so that they would have up to 2 years worth of backup energy. They were designed for that purpose, and hopefully they don't fail. But if that does fail, then you got a mess going on. What do you say we take a quick music break and then come back and wrap this up?
Well, let me pop this on. It's a thought in my head. I've been rolling around for a bit. Anyway, what if we lived in a dome? What if we lived in a dome? Would we have enough to support ourselves? Would we have the food? Would we have the water? I mean, what could we live and could we scrounge out? Is there enough gardens and property around you that has been farmed? Is there enough wildlife? Could we actually handle being stranded from the rest of the world?
Well, I'd say use Dublin's gorilla charity and go out and plant gorilla gardens as well. Just start throwing vegetable seeds every direction. All right.
Once we just went down the side of the road and where we got the ditches, there's a bit of grass on the street side or maybe just on the other side. And, you know, the water's going to flow through there, and it is going to, you know... What if we just kind of threw our seeds after we rototilled all the way up and down every road? There'd be enough garden.
Well, you're
there
at
would
it.
Be no need. There would be no need to steal, because you could just walk out and start walking down the street, grab what you want. Everybody would get it, and you can't pick it fast enough when it's growing. Wintertime might be a rough time.
While you're at it, plant some hemp to keep the government busy.
At least we can make our own fabric and food and clothes.
You plant the hemp outside and you detoxify soil in a couple of years and can use it again.
You wear nothing but hemp clothes, hemp shirt and all that stuff. It's like wearing pajamas, right?
All right, let's take a quick music break. Let's take a quick music break and come back and wrap this thing up. What do you think?
Okay, pee for me.
I should have just left you guys here talking and snuck out. All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, everybody.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Will Mother Earth survive? Hope.
Shaziz the Turtle. Always working Shaziz the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. We're back. You're listening to old King Shaziz the Terrible and our humble knights, Barry and Muddy in here. And they got their caffeine going on their side, so I can see them getting wiry already.
Too much chaga in my coffee.
Too much chaga.
Again, I think I overdosed this morning because I'm sitting here fidgeting right now. I want to go for a run. Don't
overdose on Chagas. Muddy's trying to send me files. What are you trying to send me, Muddy?
Oh, a cool instrument that, that I got for free.
Alright, well, anyway, I think we've had a pretty amazing, insightful, emotional conversation today. And I think that we all feel the necessity to continue to do the Knights of the Round Table and the reasoning behind it, and just bringing people together, you know.
We need more. We need more.
It's a hard battle to try to wade through this life that we live that we live. But what do you want to say you done with what you had during your life? What do you want the final outcome to be, you know? What do you want to leave behind? Me personally, I've been blessed by all the individuals that came before me that laid down the stones that gave me the freedoms to say and do what I wanted to do during my life and enjoy my life. And it took me a long time to gain the wisdom to understand that I was pretty much riding on the hard labors and the sacrifices of all of those who came before me. And so what do? Do I just take everything I can get out of life and just move on and not leave anything behind for people? This is the question that society is going to have to ask each other. Do you want to give back to what was given to you, to your children and your children's children? I want to leave those good footsteps in the sand for those folks that come after me. I don't want to be the guy that walks down the road and throws the soda can off to the in the ditch. I want to be the guy that took that soda can over there and recycled it into something usable that wasn't wasteful. I want to be the guy that does something positive on a daily basis, even if it means I got to go out of my way to do it. Because of what was given to me, I feel like that I owe the world. People out there in this world today feel like the world owes them. And unless...
Well, man doesn't work, doesn't eat. Some people want to eat, they don't want to do nothing. So they sponge off the rest of them. Some places are called a commonwealth for one reason, because commonwealth means one thing. My money is their money.
Well,
I figure if the dome, you know, kind of, if we were separated from the rest of the world, I think we could get by. I think what actually needs to happen, if like the banks fall and the government falls, well, if your money is no good, your worth is your skills, your trade, your knowledge. Can you grow food? Can you carve props? Can you make a wind turbine? What can you do without power? What can you provide your neighbor with?
You know, if you...
Man, it doesn't work, doesn't eat. But if you've got some kind of commodity, that's your money, Bob.
If you go to the movie theater and the power goes out and you ain't got no movie anymore, you don't sit there. You don't stay there in the dark and sit there and wait in the hopes that somebody, the man, is going to come turn the lights back on. You get up. You do something. Maybe somebody gets up there and be a clown in front of the screen. Look me, I got a flashlight and a cell phone. You know, have some fun and entertain people. But it's as easy as this. If you do something, something gets done. But if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. So be the one out there doing something, anything positive towards this mess, and we together, if we got enough people picking up brooms and trash bags and doing the right thing.
You got a vacant lot in the middle of the city and somebody starts cleaning and all the trash out, people come to help. Next guy comes over with a rototiller. Next thing you know, people are planting food. Yeah, you start doing something, work attracts attention. And when people see what you're doing, they want to help.
Yep.
Work is the main thing. It's not plan it and say, okay, everybody, here's what we need to do, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to do, and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't happen because there's nobody there. Why? Because you haven't attracted enough attention. Once you start doing the work, the attention will come. Then you have somebody to talk to. They'll usually ask you, hey, you want some help with that? Sure, man. What you doing? Tell them the dream.
You know, there's a few...
He'll tell the next person. Here's what you need to do when the crap hits the fan. You need to do something. You have to have a skill. You can grow the food. You can sit there and say, I'm carving a crop. You want to learn how? There's nothing else to do. You can't sit in front of your computer all day watching movies.
There's a few videos out there after riots. You've seen the average Joe going up there picking up the trash and people of all colors just helping cleaning up the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah, why? Because everybody else is doing it. Just like in that movie, Another Brick in the Wall, right at the end, the very last scene, some kid was taking these, picking up bricks and stacking them on his little toy truck and pulling away, and there were other kids doing it. Everybody was just something to do. And the kid picks up the bottle. It's got this little rag hanging out the side. He puts it up to his nose. He makes a yuck, and he pours it out. And that ended the video. The people helping to clean up after the storm. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And I'll tell you what, if you want nature to smile on you when you go out there to do your little camping trip and you have your dinners and your stuff like that, and before you leave that little campsite, you clean it up and you make it look good for the next guy, and then they do the same thing for you. The next time you come back, you're going to find something a little extra in that campsite that you didn't find before.
Right.
A little bit of pride, a little bit of nature smiling on you, maybe even an extra flower or two, you know, in the background.
I had a buddy went to the Shenandoah Valley. He was supposed to be there only a few days, wound up being like two months, wound up down there, and they'd kayak around, and when people lost their boats and everything, went down the river and everything, right, they were out there just dragging a net, picking it all up, bringing it back over to the side and selling it, and he made money for 2 months sitting there just cleaning up what people dropped in the river and taking trash out with them.
I knew a guy one time who went down the road picking up aluminum cans. He said, you'd be surprised what people throw out the window. He found everything from cell phones to wallets to rings, jewelry,
exactly.
Everything, you know.
It's there, walk it by foot, see everything that you missed.
Yeah. Adopt the highway, you know. Go out there, clean it up. You know, don't do it for the government. Do it for yourself. Do it for your neighbor, you know. Your neighbor needs some help. Help your neighbor out. Yeah, we're down to the wire, guys. This is the sad part of the show, and we got to give it up for the day and move on down the road. But you guys always bring to the table some words of wisdom and love. And I appreciate that. I keep telling you all the time, it's my honor. I'm humbled by the mere fact that you guys say the things that you do and show up when you do and be here with me to spread a good message to the world. We got to talk about bad things. But we also got to put the solutions out there for everybody. I think my solution is to keep on doing what I'm doing. What do you guys think?
I think you better keep at it, buddy. We've got some time left to talk here. Who knows when they'll shut us down.
Yeah. Do what you can for others as fast as you can, as much as you can. Learn to spread the love. That's what's wrong with it. You got to spread the love. The love will take over.
And so with that said, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Hope y'all enjoyed the show. Hope you learned something from it. And I hope you share it with your friends and family out there. We, the people of this world, not of this, just this nation alone or your nation alone, we, the people of this world, have to lay down the burdens of the past and not forget and not repeat the burdens of the past and let our true light shine into the future. And lay down those paving stones and plant the seeds for the future of humanity. We can do this thing. It's going to be you talking to your neighbor. It's going to be you helping out the stranger. It's going to be you that makes a difference in this world. However small you may think it is a big deal. It's a big deal in my mind. It's a big deal in Barry's and Muddy's mind. And it's a big deal in our hearts. So thank you for joining us for the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love to everybody. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet hearts are able. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Turbo. Always looking to seize the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.